Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and this episode is part two of a discussion with Dr. Andrew Schumann, a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics, the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth, and also a practicing pediatrician, about the 2021 Evaluation and Management Coding Update.
So how many levels of medical decision-making are there in the current guidelines? And what are measured if one codes by medical decision-making?
Okay. Previously, CMS recognized four levels of medical decision-making, which include straightforward, low complexity, moderate complexity, and high complexity. And they simplify the criteria needed to establish this. And when one considers medical decision-making, you need to consider the number and complexity of problems addressed at the office visit, the amount and or complexity of data to be reviewed and analyzed, and the risk of complications or morbidity associated with the treatment of the patient. So typically, one needs not necessarily to memorize, but to have available a coding table similar to the one I'm displaying now, and similar to the one in my article that was published a few months back in Contemporary Pediatrics. There are three columns that identify the problems addressed, the data reviewed, and the risk of additional testing and morbidity. And the rows involve low, moderate, high medical decision-making. And like a Chinese menu, you can circle whatever elements are appropriate to achieve the appropriate level of coding.
Okay, so what are some examples of a level three visit?
Physicians, particularly pediatricians, are used to level three visits. These are easy visits where a patient has a minor illness, a minor exacerbation of a problem. So one usually is dealing with things like a minor upper respiratory infection, a sore throat with a negative strep test, stomach flu without dehydration, stable asthma with limited exacerbations. You may need to write some prescriptions, allergies, things involving minor sprains, and things of that nature. So it's a very straightforward, more often than not, but having said that, one physician could see a problem and then talk to a patient about other problems at the same time, and then that visit becomes then a level four visit, depending on how well the physician interrogates the chart and determines if the patient has ongoing problems that need to be at least addressed as well.
Okay, so what are some examples of a level four visit then?
Okay, level four visits are more complicated and they involve things where a patient has a systemic illness with systemic symptoms. If a child, for example, has fever and cough, maybe some wheezing, if a patient has a history of ear infection, a drainage from an ear, if a patient has a stomach flu, but you suspect gastroenteritis and you need to provide prescription drug management, if there's asthma with exacerbation, not responding to home therapy, things like sore throat with a positive strep test where you prescribe an antibiotic, follow-up of a head injury that was associated with brief loss of consciousness. So you can see that these visits are more complicated by their very nature than level three visits. And by using, again, this chart, one can quickly make a determination based on either the nature of presenting problem, the data that you review, and the risk of intervention, what level of service you need to code for. You need to have the highest two of three columns addressed. And generally, prescription drug management moves it from a level three to a level four category in most situations. So these are some general guidelines for physicians. And you should always code appropriately, never overcoding, never undercoding, but always coding appropriately. It's just a little clearer now because these definitions within the charts and the recommendations from CMS can be confusing, but less so than they were previously.
Okay, so then what are some examples of a level five visit?
Okay. Now, under the new guidelines, a physician is more likely to code for a level five visit than they were previously. This is where you a patient presents in some sort of distress, be it signs of dehydration, respiratory distress, where you intervene, you give IV fluids, where you give nebulizer treatments, and one possibility of the outcome of that visit may be hospitalization of that patient. So under these new guidelines, you're more likely to code level five visits than you were in the past because pediatricians often see such patients in the office, observing them following a head trauma, things of that nature. And even if you don't end up admitting them to the hospital, they could certainly qualify for a level five visit. So, you know, that's something to take under consideration as well.
Okay. So if a provider wishes to code by time rather than by medical decision-making, what are the new guidelines for that?
Okay. There are minimum time requirements for different levels of visits based on whether the patient is a new or established patient and how much time you spent with the patient, but not only how much time you spent with the patient, but in preparation to see the patient, reviewing data, writing your note. These are things that you didn't get time elements for. So generally at this point in time, a level three visit, you need to qualify with 20 minutes. A level four visit is usually of the nature of 30 minutes. And I believe a level five is 40 minutes or higher. And there's some nuances built into that. It may depend on whether you have a new or established patient or not. But by reviewing your resources, you'll be able to code appropriately based on time. I usually recommend that however you code, you conclude your note by putting some written information directed at the insurance company, indicating that you did try to satisfy some sort of coding requirement, being medical decision-making or a time element. That makes it much easier for you to review your note and for the auditor from the insurance company, or perhaps the auditor, if your institution has one, to understand your line of thinking and to explain why you coded a note a particular way.
Okay, so providers who need help with coding, what resources are available to them?
Okay. One resource that I've endorsed and recommended over the years is an online resource called EM University. And it provides, for not much money, usually of the order of $300 per year, an online course where they go over these different elements that I explained. And they provide charts and explain case by case how it's to your advantage to code in a certain way for a certain problem, perhaps by medical decision making versus time. So you want to code to your own advantage to gather the more IBUs or to get more compensation for your practice, depending on how you code your note. The other thing I'd recommend is my son and I did recommend or did develop a coding online resource. It's called mdmtool.org. And you simply go to that site, check a few boxes, and it generates a text box for you, which you can copy and paste into your office note. And it's pretty much self-explanatory. We only have the medical decision-making element online soon, but in the next few weeks, the text element will go online as well.
Thanks for listening. If you like us, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.